When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. Real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to StarTalk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. StarTalk begins right now. Welcome back to StarTalk Radio. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist with the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. We're going straight into time travel questions. Time travel questions. I need help because these questions come to us from the internet, from Facebook and Twitter and on the phone and Google Plus. And so I combed the neighborhood and I found Colin Jost wandering. Colin, welcome to StarTalk Radio.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So you've been like a comedian your whole life. When you were a kid, did your parents say, what are you, a comedian? Were you one of those?
I totally was. I was in like grade school. I was impersonating David Letterman and doing David Letterman shows.
You were the
school
class clown.
I wasn't like the goofy class clown. I was trying to, aspiring to be the smart class clown.
The smart class clown. Good. I wonder if anyone ever thought that it would amount to anything in your life.
I don't know. Probably.
Wait, actually, has it?
Yeah, well, that's a great first question. Enough that I'm here, I guess. I mean,
Welcome. You come quite pedigreed. You're a writer for Saturday Night Live. I did a little bit of homework on you. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
And also, you do stand up and you can be found around town. So, and your tweet at The Colin Jost.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. We'll be following you there.
Yeah.
So I brought you in to just to kind of cull these questions. I haven't actually seen the questions yet, but you have. And so just fire them in.
Fire away.
I'm sitting and ready for you.
This is great. They look really good to me. So the first one is just a pretty great question to start off time travel, which is it's coming from Facebook, from a guy named Sean Karp on Facebook.
Sean Karp. Okay.
Sean Karp. And the question starts, what is time? Really nice intro. It continues. What is time?
He's not satisfied with just
He's not the satisfied. This is not, you'll see there's a paragraph here. So he's not satisfied with anything.
Okay, let's go.
So what is time? And he says, in A Sound of Thunder by Ray Bradbury, he speaks of time as a linear thing which can be altered. However, in Star Trek, the 2009, he points out Star Trek, time is also linear but can be diverted into parallel streams like a river or a highway. The Doctor refers to time like this. People assume
Doctor as in Doctor Who, Doctor Who.
I'm assuming, unless it's just his own personal physician launching into
into the metaphysics of time.
Let me tell you about time first, in the middle of a proctology exam. Let's talk about time for a second. The Doctor refers to time like this. People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. And he says, are any of these explanations more true? Are none even close? Other thoughts?
Well, okay, excellent. And a beautiful reference there with three sources of science fiction, yeah, including the late Ray Bradbury.
That's right.
In fact. So time, all we can tell you of time is how we measure it and what consequences different phenomena and behavior of the universe have upon it. So here we are sort of progressing through time, second after second, and we're prisoners of the present, mm-hmm, forever moving between the past and the future. That's how we think of it. However, if I set you into motion, the very clearly identified and well-tested laws of relativity tell you that I can slow down or speed up your time relative to other things around you. So time in that sense is not linear. It can be stretched or shrunk relative to other things that are around it. And not only that, in the vicinity of supermassive black holes that distort the fabric of space and time, mm-hmm, because the fabric of the universe is not just what it does structurally to the space, it's the fabric of what the time is doing as well. So imagine two black holes ready to collide. That's an awesome disturbance in the fabric of space-time.
And so a black hole is an area where the energy in it is traveling faster than the speed of light.
Well, no. So once you fall into a black hole, you never come out, not even if you are a beam of light. So,
gotcha.
So that's why it's black. And that's why we sensibly call it a hole.
So if you think of like a beam of light struggling to get out of a drain, it's not even getting out.
It's not even getting out. Therefore, it's black.
Gotcha.
And so the consequence of this, it's not just simply that the light can't get out. Space curves back upon itself so that the light is trying to get out, but there is no pathway for it to occupy. And that is a severe curvature of space and time.
Uh-huh.
And so of these three definitions here, as represented in science fiction, I'd have to go with the Doctor.
All right.
In the series Doctor Who.
Doctor is in.
Get it right now. Wiggly, wobbly, wimey.
Yeah, wibbly, wobbly, timey, wimey stuff.
Yeah, it's now about whether time can split, we simply don't know.
Huh.
Is there some other universe where you are left-handed and not right-handed that split at some point in your life? I mean, we just don't know.
Right.
We just have a hard enough time trying to understand our one universe.
Yeah.
Much less rivers that might flow from it.
People have that. I think that people have that fantasy of, oh, if I had another life, I would do this. And if I had another life,
and they're hoping
do this.
that life is actually going on right
somewhere,
now.
Somewhere, yeah.
In another universe. So I go with the Doctor Who on that
one. Doctor Who. And when we're talking about black holes, so is it, maybe this is a more elementary question, but where does all the stuff go that's getting sucked in?
Yeah, it's an elementary and extraordinarily good question. It can be both
okay
at the same time.
It can be dumb and smart. Okay. In parallel worlds, I'm dumb and smart.
So every law of physics that we know says that once you fall into a black hole, you will collapse down to what we call a singularity. By the way, that was our word first. Who's this guy who's been using it for?
Wait, cell phones with singularity, like
yeah. So Ray Kurzweil has been using that.
He
stole that from us. I'm telling you right now.
Gotcha.
He's saying that's the day in the future where computers get faster and computationally than the human brain, and then you can't distinguish the two, and you can upload your mind into
gotcha
a computer
yeah.
and live forever. It's our word,
he
singularity.
Yeah.
So in the center of a black hole, all matter and energy collapse to that infinitesimal point. And we don't know what happens at that point. Our physics ends at that point. And so we need new laws of physics, like string theory and other things. But they're working on it. We've got top people working on that.
And is there a black hole that's anywhere near enough that even in, you know, centuries from now, we'll send something into it to find out or no?
Well...
Is that a hard?
Yeah,
you want to
go?
Well, so I thought we'd start like the traditional way, monkey, you know, dog.
Send a tamster first. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, we got to close out this segment. We'll see you after the break. This is Star Talk Radio, and we're in the Cosmic Queries, part of the show. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I'm with Colin Jost. Colin, welcome to Star Talk.
Thank
Did
you.
I pronounce your name right, Jost?
Colin. Yeah, Jost. Yeah, you're
Colin
right.
Jost.
Most people get Jost wrong, so you're already ahead of the game.
No, I'm only half... Okay, because I did better than others in that and worse than the other. All right. No, that makes me dead even, I think.
Yeah.
All right. I got you on to just ask me these questions. You're going to be sort of the everyman person out there because
right.
we get questions. And for this particular show, we've culled together all the questions on time travel because that's what this show has been about. And I've not seen these questions in advance, but you've reviewed them from Facebook and Twitter and every other way people
yeah.
have access to us. So fire on.
Oh, yeah. So this next one is from Google Plus, like even better.
I never met Google Plus. I
was... even better than Google, just a little bit better.
So Mr. Plus
it's
asked
a little
question.
More charged, a little more charged. This question comes from Fraser Kane of mm-hmm. the website Universe Today, and it's a question I've also wondered many times. Doesn't the fact that there are no time travelers now prove that time travel will never be invented in the future?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I've always thought about that because I said to myself, in fact, if you watch the TV, the CBS sitcom, The Big Bang Theory, in the roommate contract of I know you got to be totally in the show in the roommate contract that stipulated that if I'm getting the details of it wrong, the sense of it is right.
They'll still be very excited.
If any one of them invents a time machine in the future, they have to go back to that moment that they're reading that phrase in the roommate contract to show up in the room. And so they're going through the contract and then they pause
That's
for a
great.
Moment. No, okay, we have, you know, you're not the one who invents the time machine in the future.
That's the ultimate, like, let's agree to meet back here 10 years from now, but it's at the same time. That's awesome.
Exactly. And so I think that's a pretty good argument. And I don't have a rebuttal to that.
But you know, what if people are hiding it? What if people have come back but are not telling people for some reason because
okay.
they don't want to give something away?
There's a quote, I think it was from Roald Dahl, but others perhaps have said it, that the only secret that can be kept between two people is when one of them is dead. So I'm pretty sure that if a time machine were out there, people would have figured that one out. It's been rumored that the reason why the Titanic sank is because in the future they invented a time machine and everyone wanted to go back to the Titanic to see the iceberg when it hits. And then it overloaded the Titanic and it sank. Right.
Oh, well, now I'm convinced.
So there's the evidence. You're looking for evidence?
There we go.
That's hardcore evidence. So that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And it might be that your time travel machine can only take you into the future. And then you don't have these paradoxes of killing your grandmother and then you're never born to go
weird,
back to the future stuff. Exactly.
Because there's a movie too called Looper or Loopers that with Bruce Willis and he goes back in time. He's like an assassin that goes back in time and he goes back and he's scheduled to kill himself. So he has to like figure out what to do about it.
You know what's interesting? All these TV shows, they have people going back and killing people.
I know.
All you have to do is pick a time where two of your ancestors who mated produced one of your ancestors. And all you have to do is prevent them from mating. You don't have to kill anybody. Just your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, prevent them from meeting. You would have never been born.
Enough of the killing.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Forget the blood and guts. And so it doesn't take much to completely alter the path of who's alive and who was never born and who was never conceived in this world.
Yeah. All right, next question here comes from Facebook, Dare Pringle. And the question is, if I had a time machine like H.G. Wells, if I traveled back in time 6 months, would I not find myself floating in space with the Earth on the other side of the sun? And if I was in L.A. and traveled back in time 3 hours, wouldn't I find myself roughly in New York and a few feet off the ground?
Okay.
Wow.
So what's going on there, of course, is it presumes that the time machine is only working in the time coordinate. But to quote, who was it? It was not Einstein. I think it was, it'll come to me in a moment, one of the great physicists of the early 20th century, upon realizing the implications of relativity, noted that no one has ever been at a place without there having been a time attached to it. And no one has existed in time without being at a place. Hmm. And so forever, space and time, now in our new understanding of the fabric of the universe, space and time are part of the same coordinate system. So an intelligently rendered time machine, and this is a very clever and perceptive point of Mr. Pringle, a properly conceived time machine would recognize, maybe it's a setting in the settings function on your time machine. It's like
includes space.
Put me back in time and the same place that I am relative to everything else. But otherwise, if you're only moving back in time, you're correct. You go back in time 6 months, you are floating in space and Earth is on the other side of the sun, and the side of you not facing the sun will freeze and the side of you facing your sun will burn.
Wow.
That's what happens when you're in space.
So definitely you want to specify.
Well, you can rotate rotisserie style to stay warm, but then you'll just suffocate. So you got to specify location as well as time. Otherwise, you're hosed.
Is that when you talk about, like, when not you, but when one talks about time as a dimension, is that a way to think about it too, that it's almost like on an axis?
Yeah.
And they're all
it
one
is totally point. An axis. It's totally an axis. And so you want to choose the axis, the movement in time, back in time, so that the space carries you with the object that you care about, be it the planetary surface or whatever else you're doing. By the way, the sun is in orbit around the center of the galaxy. If you go back in time a million years, you want to make sure you were not only on Earth, but that Earth was still part of the sun in the sun's orbit around the center of the galaxy. Hmm. Not only does Earth and the moon orbit each other, Earth and the sun orbit each other, and the sun and the center of the galaxy do their dance as well. So it's quite the ballet.
Yeah. This is a related question from Twitter from Sean Sanford. And this says, when time traveling, would one need to travel in exact one-year increments to show up at the same location on Earth?
Yeah. So if you only had the capacity to travel in time, yeah, you'd have to sort of do the one-year increment. But like I said, the sun in that 1 year has moved mightily in its orbit around the center
Everything
of the galaxy.
And other things have changed, obviously, relative to where you were.
Exactly. So you have to think about that. I'm glad people are concerning themselves.
I know. It's a very high level of concern
exactly.
for time travel.
It's a very deep – it's a much deeper
– than like, do I get a toothbrush? What's the situation there?
Exactly.
It's very high-level concerns. This next one is on Twitter. It's from Adrian Jones. And the question is, if we could fold two points of space-time together, what would happen to the matter that was between those two points?
Fold two points in space-time. Well, you can't, because the two points in time will not correspond. They're two different places on the time axis. So you can't have time t equals 0 in the same place as time t equals 5, because they're different places on the axis. If you folded them, you're folding them in a higher dimension, and so they're kind of near each other. If you stepped above them in a higher dimension,
but they're not actually the same.
They're not actually in the same place. And so just to make that clearer, if you took a sheet of paper, and I've got one right here, even though it's radio, you can listen to it. And I've got a sheet of paper, 8.5 by 11, and I'm curling the two edges. And I have the two edges sort of touching each other now.
Yeah.
And I can say they're in the same place, but no, they're not.
But they're not actually.
They're not actually. Now, what I'll do is I'll punch a hole through one to get to the other, a little wormhole. And I've just warped the fabric of space, traveled through a wormhole, landed on the other side. Now I unfold the sheet of paper, and I just cross the sheet of paper instantly in what might have otherwise taken me some unacceptably long period of time, such as what they do in Star Trek.
Whoa.
They invoke their warp drives. They take their destination, warp their location close to it. They travel through this warp in the fabric of space and time. They unfold it, and they cross the galaxy during the TV commercial. That's how that works.
That sounds awesome. That's a great commute.
In what would have otherwise taken across the galaxy hundreds of thousands of years, even at the speed of light. So it's a legitimate way to cheat the laws of relativity.
So the D train going uptown is like the exact opposite of that. It somehow manages to
to lengthen the time it takes you.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's a New York City reference there.
That's a train that runs uptown in New York City. Mm. All right, next question here is from a website. It's from Drew McDowell. I've heard Star Trek The Voyage Home used as a reference on the show before and actually had a burning question in my mind. They're talking about using certain velocities to use the sun's pull to time travel with. My question is, would there really be enough safe distance where the sun's pull could be used to gather enough speed, or would it just pull you in?
So they're talking about Star Trek movie 4.
So it's like using what the gravity of your location with the sun to increase the velocity.
So Colin, what we'll do is we'll get back to that after this break.
It's a cliffhanger.
We'll see you in a moment.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are influencers on the internet. Which means Tubi is more popular than sponsored posts for digestive enzymes and high coverage foundation. More popular than soft launching your boyfriend. More popular than making boomers explode with rage when you tell them how much you make on a single post. Tubi, it's more popular than influencers. See you in there.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
This is Star Talk Radio. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist. We're in the Cosmic Queries part of the time travel show. And I found him wandering the streets, Colin Jost. Colin, welcome to Star Talk.
Thank you. Great to be here.
He's going to be reading questions submitted by all means of communication back to Star Talk. And by the way, Colin, if we want to find you, you're the Colin Jost.
That's right.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's like...
And I've been enjoying all your tweets, too.
Oh, thank you.
Curiosity. So it's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
A lot of great Mars facts that I did not know.
So before the break, you left off with a question. Who is it from?
This is a question from Drew McDowell.
Drew McDowell. So he had asked about the Star Trek The Voyage Home, mm-hmm. Star Trek IV, mm-hmm. which has been dubbed Save the Whales. Right. Right. That's the
That's
subtitle
right.
of that show.
That's right.
Where they go back in time to the... present day of the time of the film. So it was 1984, I think it was, or 85. And so he wants to know, is there an actual speed with which you can swing by slingshot past the sun, such as what they did in that show,
right,
in that movie, in order to go back in time?
Right. And it says, can you use the sun's pull, but is there a safe enough distance that it wouldn't just pull you in?
Yeah. So first of all, you cannot do what they did in the show, in the movie.
Regardless.
Right. So just would nip that one
already.
In the bud.
Yes.
Okay. So, and the only way you could do something like that is if you had vastly more powerful gravity than the sun. And you needed the fabric of space and time has to be so warped that, in fact, there's a colleague of mine who studies this. His name is Rich Gott. In fact, he's been on Star Talk before. He wrote a book called Time Travel in Einstein's Universe. And he found a solution to Einstein's equations that allows backwards time travel with a kind of a slingshot trajectory, but not around the sun. The sun does not disturb the fabric of space and time nearly enough.
What's the kind of thing that would?
Two black holes that are in orbit around each other. And so you'd have to do a kind of a wiggly path around these black holes, and you can end up in the past of your own world line before you had left to go on that trip.
Well,
yeah, it's a very whoa moment. And so Star Trek, it was more exciting to do it around the edge of the sun because of visually rather than just two black things
yep.
in space, which is already black. But In principle, but in fact, I don't know that this equation had been discovered at the time the movie was conceived. They surely would have tapped it. They've got very good writers for Star Trek. So yeah. And now, in terms of how close you can get to the sun, the ship, unless it had deflector shields working against thermal energy, the ship would have just vaporized. Yeah.
Yeah. And a process he was talking about with the black holes, they have way more gravity, obviously.
Yes, but they're much more intense.
What determines the gravity of an object or a, like, how do you get more gravity?
Yeah. You want more gravity? Yeah. You don't weigh enough on Earth?
I know. Opposite diet. What do we do?
So, yeah, two ways to gain weight. One of them is to eat more. Another one is to add more mass to the Earth, but keep it same size. So here's what happens. If Earth just got bigger... Here's the problem. What makes you weigh more is how close you are to the center of gravity, the center of mass of an object.
Gotcha.
The closer you are to it, the more you will weigh. The farther away you are from it, the less you will weigh. All right? Another thing that matters is what is the mass of the object you're attracted to. So you combine these together in an equation that Isaac Newton came up with, and you have two factors operating opposite each other. Okay, so watch what happens. If I take Earth and just make it bigger without increasing its mass,
your gravity is actually less.
That gravity is going to be less. Gravity is going to be less.
And so on the moon, our gravity is, there's less gravity. Is that because the mass is smaller?
Well, so the moon is 181st as massive as the Earth.
Gotcha.
181st. As massive. So you'd think, well, you'd only weigh 1/81th of what you do now. If you were 160 pounds, you think you might weigh 2 pounds on the moon. No, you weigh 1/6 of what you do here. You weigh much more than you would otherwise weigh on the moon
because you're
closer to the center of the moon.
Gosh.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. So the moon has 1/6 Earth's gravity, even though it is 181st the mass of the Earth.
There you go.
That's how it is.
Problem solved.
And so, in fact, when people undergo weight loss programs, by the way, you could go to a mountaintop and you're farther away from Earth. That's one way to lose.
That's the easiest weight loss.
That's one way to lose weight. But you really.
Plus, getting up there, you might lose some pounds.
Yeah. So, what really people usually mean is that it's a mass loss problem. They want to lose mass.
Yes.
Not just weight. Plus, you can go into orbit and weigh nothing.
Right.
But you'll still be chubby if you went started that way.
And it's more expensive, too.
That's way more expensive than Jenny Craig, right?
Yeah. That's a Richard Branson diet. All right. And then, so this next question here is from Peter Baxter. It's from Google+. And it says, if you took 1 year to get to the largest black hole in the universe, then you orbited it for 1 year, measured by a clock on board the spaceship, at the closest safe orbit you could, which is kind of what we're talking about almost, then afterward it took you 1 year to get back to Earth, how much time would have elapsed on Earth during the 3 years the astronaut experienced? Overall, is the astronaut traveling backward in time from the perspective of Earth?
Okay. Well,
it's like an intergalactic train's traveling at two speeds.
There you go. Yeah, the train going from Chicago.
Exactly,
the word problem from hell from seventh grade. I'll start the answer to that, but we'll have to get back to the final part of that answer after this break.
Okay.
But let me begin by saying that it depends on how fast he traveled en route to the black hole and how fast he traveled en route back. And so we'll address that in just a moment when we come back to Star Talk Radio. By the way, you can find us on the web at startalkradio.net. See you after the break. This is Star Talk Radio, where we bring the universe down to Earth. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson here with Colin Jost. Colin, welcome to Star Talk.
Yes. Thank you.
We're in the Cosmic Queries time travel show, and you're bringing questions culled from the cosmos.
That's
right. Right here into the studio.
And mostly from Earth so far, but okay. We'll see.
So far.
Yeah.
And so we left off with someone wanted some numerical.
Yeah.
Tell me that again.
They wanted you to fully solve a math problem. It was basically a year to get to a giant black hole. You spend a year orbiting it. And then a year back to Earth. So 3 years total. Are you actually traveling backward in time? How much time has really elapsed for the traveler?
Okay, so...
Or, I'm sorry, how much time has elapsed on Earth?
Fortunately, we just came out of a break. So I was able to actually...
Where you fully solved this whole thing. It was great to watch.
Dust off my my relativity equations and my... here's the thing. A nearby black hole is in the constellation Cygnus, and it was the very first black hole ever discovered and confirmed. It's called Cygnus X1, and it's called X because it comes from an X-ray catalog of objects. And we came to learn that when a star is getting flayed by a black hole, a star that's in orbit around a black hole, that the descending material can, in its attempt to spiral down the toilet bowl, can be heated to very extreme temperatures, so hot that it not only radiates red hot and white hot and blue hot. Blue hot is the hottest among the temperature among the colors that you can radiate. It actually radiates in X-rays. You can do the calculation and show that that's how hot the material is. And so the first X-ray telescopes in the 1960s and early 70s were essentially discovering black holes in our midst.
So they picked up something and they discovered it was that mass accelerating so fast.
An ordinary star doesn't give us X-rays of that level. And then you look carefully and the star is orbiting something you can't even see what's there. There's your black hole.
Wow. And is it speed that's lurking, making it build in heat?
Yeah, exactly. So as the material spirals down, it speeds faster and faster and faster. And there's friction as it spirals down, friction with itself as it tries to get into this tiny little hole. And that heats it up. It heats it up ferociously. And you get lots of ultraviolet light, lots of X-rays, and occasionally gamma rays.
If they could sell tickets to watch that.
I would
it. That would be like an even better Cirque du Soleil, probably.
To watch a star get flayed by a black hole. That's... Cygnus X1 is 6,000 light years away. All right. So a beam of light, if you watched it, you'd have to wait 6,000 years for it to get there. So you want to get there in 1 year?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I would love to.
You want to get there in 1 year. Okay. So by your own time. So we get bringing the equations of relativity.
Mm-hmm.
If you must know, you're comparing two times, the time you on Earth would measure versus the time the person traveling would experience. And in there is a factor of the square root of 1 minus v squared over c squared. And v squared is your velocity. C squared is, of course, the speed of light.
Yes.
There it is. It's just,
of course.
Did I have to say
what
that?
What else? No.
Of course.
I wasn't thinking cookie. I was thinking speed of light. Yeah.
All right. So what happens is the faster you go, the slower time ticks for you. And so we're going to slow down your time so much so that only 1 year passes by. Meanwhile, 6,000 years passes by for people on Earth. That speed is 99.999986% of the speed of light.
I was going to guess that.
So that's damn near the speed of light. The point is, you're going the speed, essentially the speed of light, but not quite, but close enough so that we watching you, it'll take you 6,000 years to get there. You, however, your clock, your watch, your metabolism, your brain thoughts, the timer on your microwave oven, everything in your ship has slowed down as far as we can tell looking at you. Okay? So there it is.
So you're experiencing, you think it's a year, but we would say it's 6,000 years from here.
That's correct. I think you're taking 6,000 years and you're just moving really slow.
Wow.
That's right. So that's 6,000 years there.
So if I'm someone who's perennially late and I'm trying to find new excuses for my employer, this might be one I might want to look into.
Maybe we'll find you a black hole to do this. Okay. So 6,000 years there. Then we just add the year that you're in orbit around the black hole. 6,000 years back, you would have gone into our future by 12,001 years, and you would have aged only 3 years. There it is. But everyone would have forgotten about you.
So people wouldn't even be able to say, oh, you look so good, because they'd be like...
Anyone who would have said that would have been long decomposed in the earth. When we come back, our final segment here in Cosmic Queries, we'll see you in a moment.
Thank you. Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
We're back in the Cosmic Queries portion of Star Talk Radio. By the way, we're in the Twitterverse at Star Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook. Guess what we're called? We're called Star Talk Radio. And of course, you can get our archive of shows and read blogs and get engaged in our website, startalkradio.net. And as always, I've got a comedian with me here in the studio who's reading me the questions. Colin Jost, who's a lifetime comedian ever since you were a kid in elementary school.
As long as I can remember, I think.
Were teachers complaining about you, or are they?
they were surprisingly supportive, I would say.
Really?
When I look back, I'm like, why were they letting me do this?
Okay, so that meant you were not a disruptive comedian. You were just...
No, I somehow managed to, I guess, convince them that it was...
That it was a good thing. For my benefit. It's for your own good that I'm telling these jokes. Excellent. So we're doing Cosmic Queries. This is our time travel show, and people wrote in. So what do you have?
Here's one that I think is really interesting.
Oh, wait. By the way, we left off with this guy asking. He wants to go to the nearest black hole, take a year, hang out for a year, and come back. And I said, you know, he ages 3 years and we age 12,001. I was just trying to back reverse that and say, suppose Cro-Magnon man 12,000 years ago figured this out and they just showed up today.
That might explain Geico.
The Geico guys.
You've created a scientific explanation for the Geico commercial.
There you have it. I was wondering how we would finally resolve.
How we would get to it.
They had already figured out time travel back then, and they just showed up. So what else you got?
This is a question from Facebook from Daniel Owens. And he writes, what would be the most surprising thing to not find if you traveled 100 years into the future? As in, they haven't figured out that yet. So this is more speculative, I think, question on your part, or, you know, for you to answer.
I'm surprised. It's stuff we haven't figured out today. Right? I don't have to go. You don't need to send me 100 years into the future. You know, if an alien visited us today, I'd be embarrassed. Look, we're still pulling energy out of the ground. And we still fight each other. We fight wars over this, like, oil. We'd be the laughing stock of intelligent species in the galaxies. Hey, and they say, what do you do with volcanoes? We run. What do you do with hurricanes? We run. What do you do with tornadoes? We run. Haven't you solved any? No, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
This is the 21st century. We should be in charge of the Earth and not have the Earth be in charge of us.
Imagine if they came and the aliens came back and they just found like a Spencer's Gifts and they thought that was like that was like their leading thing. Instead of a museum, it would be even worse.
Yeah, you know, you don't know who they meet first, right? If they they land in some nudist colony or something or whatever, you know. I always wonder if they had ever – maybe they've already landed like in Times Square, but – nobody noticed because they just fit right
there's
in.
There's just so much going on there already. You're like, where do you want to go?
Exactly. Well, they land in Hollywood. They just fit in, you know? No, if they landed, I tweeted this. There was some very attractive alien in full garb.
Oh, yeah.
But I just tweeted. I said, I met the only real alien, but no one noticed. They accidentally landed in Comic-Con.
I know. That would be the worst place for an alien to land. That's
total worst place. Total worst place.
That should be probably at least the beginning of a movie of an alien coming to Earth.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a really good opening scene.
So this question was what?
Oh. It was kind of, what do you think in 100 years from now, you're going to be like, you're going to be shocked that they haven't done it.
Still are not in control of Earth forces that would otherwise kill us, I'd be very disappointed.
Right.
One day I want to tap a volcano for its energy.
Of course.
And then...
And some places do, you know, I mean, I remember going to Iceland and seeing some of the technology they have there.
The geothermal energy. Yeah. I mean, it's maybe we have to put beer in the volcano and then we'll learn how to tap it. We know how to tap kegs just fine. So to somehow tap the cyclonic energy of hurricanes.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if we haven't sort of figured that one out.
Have you seen how they have, you know, people have proposed things out in the ocean that are floating, that are circulating the water temperature so it never gets that hot and cold.
So what they're trying to do is prevent the hurricane happening in the first place. I don't mind a hurricane if it's a source of energy for us to tap.
Of course, yeah.
So the hurricane's ready to strike the coast. Then you put some device in the middle, sucks all the energy out.
Yeah.
And then you power the city that the hurricane would have otherwise leveled.
That's a pretty good comeuppance for the hurricane.
Exactly. Yeah. But in fact, what's really going on there is that you're tapping solar power. The sun is what's driving the hurricane. So, in fact, there's a lot of wasted solar energy. First, that's just hitting rooftops that don't have solar panels, but also solar energy that is otherwise creating things that would destroy us. And also just earthquakes, the amount of energy in an earthquake. So I want to be in command of Earth's forces 100 years from now. And I'd be disappointed if we weren't.
Great. That's a really good goal.
We're running out of time. And oh, my gosh.
My last thing, I was curious because it's all over the place now, is with the Higgs boson particle, how does that affect time travel? Are there any thoughts about how that can either explain or help?
Yeah, it's not obvious that it could affect time travel, but if you get really science, if I can get really science fiction on you.
Yeah, please.
Right? The Higgs boson controls the mass of particles. Imagine you go into a Higgs boson spa. It changes your mass just by walking in and walking back out.
Wow.
That would be total command of particle physics. That would be an awesome weight loss program.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be the first thing someone uses it for, is to commercialize. Want to look 10 pounds thinner?
Not to advance our understanding of the universe, but to take fat off your belly and butt. Anyhow, we got to call it a day. Thanks, Colin, for being on Star Talk Radio.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Star Talk Radio. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. Signing off, as always, bidding you to keep looking up.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because,
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.